Blog Talk Radio.
On the clock, 9/12/2023. How y'all doing tonight? Yeah, a little bit of that southern accent going on with me tonight. I don't know why. But, yeah, that there's funny, ain't it? And all that kind of stuff there. Yeah, sure. Wow. Got our own Southern style Ebonics going on here tonight. Interesting day today, ladies and gentlemen. I tell you, we have been interviewing a lot of people today, talking to a lot of folks around the world. I was on a couple of shows. South Korea. I was in another show in New York. 4:30 this morning, to my friends in Russia concerning this Crimea and Belarus situation and NATO and all of this Black Sea war games coming up here pretty quick. It's amazing, ladies and gentlemen, that we have all of these NATO ships moving into the Black Sea. And it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable that all of these warships are moving into the Black Sea against Russia to kind of show, you know, their self like a rooster kind of in the barnyard all fluffed up, you know, or a peacock with its feathers out, you know, strutting around there, letting Russia know, by golly, we're here, you know, to protect Ukraine, and we're here to... Putin is not going for any of this shit. I think he is being urged to push the nuclear button right now as we speak. I just hope he's a friend of mine. He's a good friend of the chef of Vladimir Putin. And we had spoken this morning also. And, of course, Vladimir is staying down the road as far as he can. You know, he doesn't want to get into a scrape, nuclear scrape with the United States. Putin has. Getting ready to bring 1 million soldiers on the ground here. I mean, Ukraine has been crushed, ladies and gentlemen. So there's just no doubt about it. We got 380,000 soldiers in Ukraine, and they're trying to pull kids into the war there, and old folks, you know, walking on canes, barely able to walk, and trying to drag people into the front lines, and prisoners and refugees and mercenaries and all these other crazy things going on. Ukraine is being crushed as we speak. You know, Putin is a strong man, and Russia has already won this war. And why NATO keeps pushing and West keeps pushing and Taiwan keeps pushing this thing is just insane. Labeled by both General Strange and others, just totally insane. The Pentagon must be smoking crack. Cocaine over there, wanting to have a big party. They're all delusional. You know, I don't know why they think they can beat Russia. I mean, they just can't do it. It just be done. It's not going to be done. You know, Ukraine, as we know, has been used as this laundromat for illegal money for so long. So many years, and has been creating all of the chemical and biological weapons that are sold to these rogue dictators around the world, along with uranium and, sex trafficking of children and, of course, illegal organ transplants and every other kind of illegal activity known to mankind has been happening there in Ukraine for years and years and years. Of course, we know that there are a lot of Russians in the Eastern Bloc area in Ukraine. There's a lot of confusion as to who's Russian and who's not, and who's Polish and who's not, and how we've got Germany in the game, Poland in the game, now we've got India in the game, now we've got all these other people, you know, fluffing their feathers at Russia. You know, they're pushing. But why are they pushing, as we say? The game would be over. You know, the game would just be over. And they're so close. They're so close. If Putin was somehow assassinated right now by Wagner or any other group or any other rogue mercenary group that's working there in Russia, we would be nuked immediately. I mean, there would be so many nukes going off, you wouldn't even know what hit you. It looked like the 4th of July on crack. I mean, the only thing saving our ass right now from total nuclear annihilation is Vladimir Putin. And all of you should be indebted to Vladimir Putin because he has kicked this can down the road as far as he possibly can. You have to understand, Putin has been in the West. He's a Westerner. He's been in Germany. He's lived in Germany, lived in the West. He's been all over the West. He speaks very fluent German, several other languages, and, of course, former KGB. But Putin has came out in many press conferences and said, I want friends with the West. I want to do business with the West. I want to be an ally. I want to be a European. I want Russia to be a part of Europe. And, you know, the hardliners from the old USSR, you know, they do not want that. And, of course, the propaganda that's going off there, the propaganda machine is making Russians hate Americans. And Putin's fought between a rock and a hard place. His constituency, a large percentage of his constituency wants him to just hit the nuclear button along with North Korea and go ahead and just wipe out the United States and Ukraine and everything else they can get their weapons on. But I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, this push for NATO to come together, this what we would call the NATO bloc, these war games is what they're calling it. They're calling it war games out in the Black Sea. But, you know, it's not just war games. You know there's going to be ships traveling with weapons to Ukraine. You know there's going to be all kinds of other nefarious and crazy things going on within the context of the war games. But Putin has intelligence. You know, he has the capability of technology for ultra super intelligence and data gathering. He knows what's going on. His generals know what's going on. So we'll just have to wait and see how far this goes. If there is a confrontation in the Black Sea, we could see nuclear war. So you all, you know, just be thinking about, you know, it's happening as we speak. They're mounting the troops. And as I said, Putin has not even brought out the big toys yet. Putin's ultimate goal is to put 1,200,000 troops on the front. And he's got them. He's ready. I mean, he is more than ready right now. Okay. And as I said before, 382,000 that we know of Ukrainians have been burned. And they're still covering bodies up. They're still burning bodies right now, trying to get rid of them and dragging them off the streets and byways and highways and alleyways. And then we've had another 62,000 or so, 75,000 mercenaries killed. And then we've got another 35,000 going in, which will be chopped up in the meat grinder. So I don't know why they keep doing this. I just don't know why. It's beyond me and all of my geopolitical, analytical powers of intellect to grasp why anyone would do such a thing. Maybe my roundtable has some ideas on why the West would continue to push the bear, you know, to push the bear point of nuclear war. The old guard is passing away. You know, Biden has got caught with his pants down again here, and they've pulled in all the evidence here to the Ways and Means Committee and the Security Council and the Congress to bring impeachment charges against Biden. They've got all the evidence they need now, and they've got more pouring in on the Biden family, taking in millions of dollars in money for trade for American secrets, national security secrets, treason against the, you know, treason against the population, treason against the flag. You know, Biden and the whole Biden family is probably one of the most corrupt families in the world. You know, at this point in time. And here Biden is coming out the other day publicly in a press conference reading from his script saying, we're going to continue with the weather modification and the geoengineering destruction of the world. And, you know, they had to pull him off the stage. They had to literally kick him from the rock and everything. And he's actually admitting weather modification. He's up there admitting what's going on. They're controlling all of the weather. He's up there just blabbing. I don't even think he knew where he was at the time. And there's another press conference the other day. They had to drag him off the stage with a hook. All they needed was a cane, like in the old days in Hollywood. But Biden's lost his freaking mind, if that was even Biden at all. But, you know, Biden's gone. He's gone. It's over. Done. Finished. And as I said on the show last night, I hope JFK Jr. comes in with Trump, who is our commander-in-chief now. Tucker Carlson has been doing some very viral interviews as of late and asking the really hard questions about these pronouns and this transgenderism and transsexual business and mutilating our children's genitals and, you know, forcing them to be indoctrinated into this woke agenda, leftist, mad Marxist agenda that's going on all over the U.S. And then I get new intel prior to the show. I get new intel coming in across my desk. We've got 10 to 12,000 immigrants coming in every day over the border. 10 to 12,000. You can thank your Democratic buddies for that. 10 to 12,000 migrants, unvetted, coming over to the border with carte blanche, I must say, carte blanche. They give them a map of the United States. They give them a map of their particular psychodemographic dream going to, and the stratification and the points of direction and people to contact and resources and, of course, expenses paid, best motels, and then they drop them off in all of these cities. New York mayor recently came out and was just like, I don't know, having a heart attack, a sanctuary city. We've got all these sanctuary cities like California and Los Angeles and Detroit and New York and all, just name one, you know, and it's becoming a sanctuary city. We have 100,000 migrants in New York, you know, clogging the streets, clogging the highways and byways, and you can't even walk on the streets of New York without running over migrants laying down, trying to sleep, you know, half dressed. It's a third world country, ladies and gentlemen. It's not the New York we knew in the 1920s and 1930s. It has become a third world country. So many more states have here in the United States. But the show tonight, I really wanted to emphasize the old guard is passing away, and this new world is emerging. You notice I left out the word order. The old guard is passing away, as it does every 125 to 150 years. And the new world is emerging. Everything is being turned upside down and inside out right now. And the landscape will never be the same. And those who try and stop the forward movement will be run over and killed by this massive, monstrous, dangerous, diabolical, and well-focused machine. Countless civilizations, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand tonight, countless civilizations have come and gone. Many of you are so ignorant to believe that we're somehow the only civilization that ever came about in the last 2,000 years. I don't know. I've talked to people that are just that dumb. And I've also talked to people that believe that the Earth was created in 6,000 years or whatever ago, you know, and that's in dinosaurs and all this other stuff you hear about in your geology and geology. They're all wrong because the Earth is only 6,000 years old. I mean, there's actually a whole lot of people that believe that's crazy shit. You know, I've got a rock in here in my command center that's over 35,000 years old. You know what I mean? I mean, come on, folks. Come on. 6,000 years? Give me a break. What kind of ignorant, stupid people do we have here in the United States? Well, a whole bunch of them, I'll tell you. Countless civilizations have come and gone. Hundreds of thousands, millions of civilizations have come and gone. And we're not even talking about other worlds. We're not talking about portals. We're not talking about time travel. We're not talking about quantum, you know, calculations that have shown the possibilities of string theory and all of these other interlooping calculations that go other dimensions, multi-dimensions, and so forth. So possibly trillions of civilizations have come and gone and will continue to be gone in the same fashion as we are seeing now. As the seasons change, so do the people. people. Now, that's something I want you all to really get a hold of tonight and think about, you know, as the seasons change. You're not special. None of you are special. As the seasons change, so do the people. And as winter turns into spring, and spring turns into whatever, and whatever turns into whatever, we die. We're born, we die. And it's been going on for trillions of years. As a culture and as a species, all of you should understand the changing of the guard is here. The new singularity is here. The fourth, fifth industrial revolution is here. The event horizon is here with artificial intelligence and the new avatars coming in to play, the new cyborg, the new matrix, the new metaverse coming into existence with these older avatars as we are being put out of commission, basically, being put on the shelf, basically antiquated. And if we are these new artificial intelligence are a million times smarter than all 380 million people in the United States. I mean, just one of these things is more intelligent and can calculate faster than all 380 million people in the United States. But many civilizations have come and gone in the same fashion. Many simulations have come and gone in the same fashion. Many avatars have been removed from or taken out of the game over those millions and billions of years. Things have come to a point of incomprehensible complexity and technology that is so far beyond our current ability to grasp, comprehend, or understand in any way, shape, form, or fashion, that it's just unbelievable. It leaves me in shock and awe. And believe me, I have contacts and sources that none of you have here, none of you. And I have been on the councils, terrestrial councils, with top intelligence agents to have passed on some very, very interesting information to me that's just mind-blowing, mind-boggling. It just makes you kind of go out and just go, what the fuck? You know, one of the WTF moments. We are in a time in history where radical change is definitely inevitable. I mean, you all have to understand this. We are in a time in history where radical change is inevitable and will not be challenged by the old guard. It will just simply be run over. The old guard will simply be run over, and all of you avatars that are listening to my voice now who are parallel and running with the old guard will just be eliminated from the system, from the simulation. So, you know, the way it works. The general population are nothing but pawns. You're nothing but pawns. All of you are nothing but pawns in this massive game in the Matrix, and do not have any voice or any power over the direction of travel that we are headed. I want all of you beanheads out there to get that through your soul. You are just pawns in the simulation, and you have no power whatsoever over the direction of travel as we are headed because of the lack of continuity and the lack of strategic development and planning and unity and lack of fellowship and lack of synchronicity and balance and coordination and a lack of similar goals and objectives. Here in the Matrix, and because of the massive division that has been created through the propaganda machine, through the CIA and others, and disinformation, propaganda, programming, and so forth, the mind control technology that has been used for eons and eons and has, as I said, gotten so highly technological that it blows my freaking mind. one of my friends who's a nuclear physicist and engineer, and has a couple of other PhDs floating around out there, told me, he said, you know, the greatest thing about all of this is the new guard that's coming in loves the fact that the avatars have no idea that they're avatars, number one. Number two, they don't realize they're in a simulation. And number three, they don't realize that they're all of their thoughts and behavior are being completely controlled by the machine, you know. And he said, it's just wonderful. It's kind of like, what is the best slave? Well, the best slave is a slave that doesn't realize they're a slave. Yeah. Pawns are expendable, as you all know. I mean, look at what we're expending now. We're expending millions and millions of people. We've expended millions and millions and billions of people. And very unimportant pawns you are in this extraordinary game, this extraordinarily complex game, and will end up doing exactly as you have been programmed to do, exactly as the masters say you will obey. And that is just the way it is. And we're not going to debate this tonight. You know, this is something that's just not debatable. It's, you know, if you don't have the capability, if you don't have the background, the experience in quantum physics and quantum mechanics and neurology to understand this, then you really don't need to be on this show. You need to be somewhere else with a bunch of old women having a tea party somewhere. But, you know, that's the way it's going to go. I mean, this is the fourth, fifth industrial revolution. This is the Third World War. We are in the Third World War right now. And it is on, baby. It's on, you know. And the eradication of this industrial revolution as we've known it, and the distribution and manufacturing and the infrastructure, and as far as medical and education, and as far as the geopolitical landscape and everything, is going to completely take a reverse, completely, like I said, inside out, upside down chain. And it's happening right now as we speak. There's several things I could mention tonight, but I'm not going to. They're just too crazy. You can't make this shit up. There's too many things going on that are too weird. Even my friend with an IQ of over 150, 160 are scratching their head going, what's saying? There's not even any method to this madness anymore. There used to be a method to the madness, you know. And now there's no method to any madness. There's no method to the madness whatsoever. No, it's just complete insanity, complete chaos. And, you know, you might think you've got your little bubble and you've got your little thing going on, but that's just you. You know, you have a very limited imagination if you in the least way think that you're making some kind of big difference in something somewhere, because you're not. You're simply following orders. You're simply a part of the machine. You're simply a part of the script that was written a long, long, long time ago. Nothing new under the sun. If you will look at the secret societies, they've written this in many books, many manuscripts. Nothing new under the sun. This has happened countless times over the eons. We've got everybody opened up here. I want to say hello to everyone. 866-446, who do we have there?
That's Chris.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hey.
I believe.
Chris, how you doing?
I'm good.
Well, you can
talk. I'm sorry, my last
time. Well, you can talk, Chris.
I was
anyway.
Getting... I was going to say, I'm sorry about last night. I was actually sleeping, and I didn't mean to sleep through the show, but I did. And figured I'd at least apologize for not being here. That wasn't very nice of me.
Oh, we worried about you. Faith said that you were probably taking a nap, or you were tired and kind of worn out, and took a nap. And that's cool, you know. It's really cool. It's okay with me. I mean, you're here tonight, right? So any comments on my opening? Any comments on my opening statements, Chris?
Well, I've been driving and I got to hear part of what you were saying, but I'm always in it to to win it on whatever, you know. If you're going to open up information to me, teach me something, I'm always listening. But when I have vehicles and other things that catch me and there's key parts of your conversation I didn't hit, it mainly just wants me to be quiet now and not give my input to that, but wait and listen and give my input in a little bit more when others start feeding too.
Yeah, I want to see who this is. Okay, Mary, I see our producer's on with us tonight, actually, for the first time on the VIP line. Let's see what anybody knows about. Hello, Mary. How you doing, baby? What's going on?
Here.
Well, nobody can hear you. But anyway, 614 just popped on. I think that's Spanky. I'll open up his mic here in a little while. You know, it's amazing, folks, how each one of you, you're trapped in your own little bubble of illusion and delusion and of reality. You're trapped in your own experience and your perception that has grown out of multiple experiences and inputs coming in from multiple directions, you're, some of you, you know, are into the hive mind mentality and the collective consciousness, et cetera, et cetera. And we're not sure about any of this. The jury's still out on collective consciousness, and the jury is still out on the hive mind mentality, except for when people mimic each other. You know, people will mimic a fad, for instance, that starts up on Facebook. It will catch on, and people will mimic in some way, shape, form, or fashion. But as far as it goes, you're living in your own little delusional reality. You're living in your own little delusional illusion, your dream within a dream. And it just kills me when people try to ditch all of these things together, you know, and try to make themselves a part of the overall totality of the landscape and the geopolitical global landscape. And their morals and principles and ethics and all of these other fictional behavioral psychosis into the paradigm or the calculation. And they try to include themselves in all of this. And people, you know, should say, hey, I'm a watcher, I'm an individual, I'm a component in this massively complex simulation that we do not understand in any way, shape, form, or fashion. We have no idea what's going on here. We have no idea consciousness is. We have no idea what mind and brain are doing together or separately. We have no idea how this existence came about or why, or even if it did, and if so, in what form, in what shape, in what fashion, and for what reason. None of you know. You're all retarded in that way. Me included. We all have our dime opinions in our little bubbles that we live in, and some people live in larger bubbles than others. Some people's bubbles are pretty large, and others are very, very small. Like a child would blow a little bitty itty bitty bubble. Some people live in those bubbles, and then other people, they are living in those bubbles where you buy them at the store, the big round things that are 4 feet wide, and you put them in the big zippered deal in the swimming pool and blow one of those bubbles that you could put a body in, you know. Some people live in those bubbles. And some people have more intelligence, obviously, than others, and some people have more education than others. Some people have more insight than others because of their input. And because of their discrimination, their discriminatory capabilities within the cerebral cortex to be able to discriminate information that's coming in through the filters of the brain and then becoming meaningful, where one can navigate a very complex matrix with communication ideas, behavior, and attitudes, and so forth and so on, developing perception and imagination and philosophy and concept as to what might be happening next around the corner. You know, the brain puts all of these together. You know, if you were looking at this from a quantum physical Planck level perspective, you would realize that each individual component or variable has nothing to do with the other one. So if you are taking steps on a sidewalk, one step has absolutely nothing to do with the other one. And the coffee cup has nothing to do with the spoon, and the spoon has nothing to do with the sugar. This is all in your imagination. The car has nothing to do with the motor, and the motor has nothing to do with the tires, and the tires have nothing to do with the movement of the vehicle that you illusion yourself to be driving. And this is something for people, really difficult for people to grasp hold of, which is so well known in physics now and neurology and all of the studies that we've done with mind brain and all of the, you know, the theta and beta and alpha and gamma wave and propagation that we have now. We now have the capability to read your mind. We now have the capability to know what you're thinking specifically. We can just look at it from a distance. The drones now have the ability to read your mind. This came from money that Bill Gates had invented, billions and billions, through DARPA and the CIA and a few other high intelligence agencies, where they can read your mind now. So, they, you know, free crime is here, baby, you know, free crime. They can tell what you're thinking. I mean, if Walmart wants to, they can tell, you know, what kind of sex you had last night with your girlfriend or wife or your mistress. They could tell, you know, if you'd robbed a store a week ago. If they wanted to expend the time and energy and money and investment into that technology, it is very much available and being utilized by some of our top intelligence agencies around the world. So you really just can't hide, can you? There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to go, you know. You are an avatar. You are living in a simulation. You are living within a dream, within a dream, within a dream, within a dream. Sure, many of you have thought about that and had those questions running through your mind as to what the hell is going on here. You know, just to look out at my room here in the command center is just amazing. I'm in shock and awe that I can even visually do this. My visual cortex will allow me to take in the information from the external environment and turn it into something that looks real, and I can actually name things that are in here with me, like the computer and my glass of water and my cup of tea and all of these things. None of them have any connection to each other. None of them have any connection to each other whatsoever. But the mind convinces us that they do. And somehow we move through that fantasy. We move through that little dream, that little show that's being put on, and trick or treat, we call it reality. And so many people do not have the capacity or the intellect or the education or the research background to understand and these particular things that I'm speaking of right now. Because it's very complex. It's very difficult, very hard. I mean, if it was easy, everybody would. And at this point in time, the only people that are doing it are very specific individuals around the world who are in these high-level positions of power and have or in the know. They're in the know, and they are communicating with species that are a million years ahead of us in technology, 10 million years, 25 million years. It really doesn't make any difference. Time doesn't exist. So, you know, they're communicating with beings and entities and agencies that none of you have ever really communicated with. Many of you say you have, but you really haven't. We have this lower level. I teach on the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth level of reality in the Matrix, and I talk about how people have all of these delusions about how cool they are and how spiritual they are and how connected they are to Gaia and, you know, to this, that, and the other, when in fact all this is bullshit. People get mad at me and hang up. You know, they just hang up. Well, that's your loss. That's your loss, because you're not learning anything when you do that. There are ways to think about mind over matter, and I do believe that the possibility exists. We've proven that in quantum physics. We've proven that in basic physics. We've proven that in quantum mechanics. Mind over matter does have some semblance of possibility. We really don't know how that works. No one knows how that works, not even those of you who claim to have those powers. I have powers of communication where I can change things and alter the state of reality. I can alter the state of people's behavior and people's attitudes. I can alter the state of people's thinking. I can change the way people perceive their environment. I can change the way people perceive themselves. And it's a massive talent to have. And it's a very handy talent to have in this wacky, wacky world that we have today. You're either the leader or the follower. You know, I told you all many nights now that you're either a leader or you're a follower. And if you're a leader, you better be a good leader. I mean, you could be a wacky, wacky leader, like I wrote an article about the New Age nuts out there that I know, who are teaching all of these people all these crazy, 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 crazy things that have absolutely nothing to do with the Matrix itself. It's all this fictional bullshit. And then you have others who are sages and yogis and shamans who really do have the wisdom of the ages and really do understand the elements and so forth, and are these shamans, alchemists and philosophers, and those who are very deep, deep, deep thinkers and have taken the deep dive into the secret societies and really have bitten into the meat of the Matrix. You know what I'm saying? Then you have these charlatans on TikTok and Instagram and other platforms out there pretending to be gurus and psychics and sages and healers and all of this other crazy shit. You really have to really be careful who you talk to, because some of this shit gets really delusional. You know, you get in and meet people and you listen to them for a little while and they sound sane. They sound logical, and then all of a sudden things kind of go sideways. You know, when people like Faith was telling me she can control the weather, I went kind of like, oh, yeah, sure, mm-hmm, right. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, Faith and I are going to be friends no matter what. I mean, we're going to be friends forever no matter what. She'll be the one to back out, not me. If Faith and I break up, to really be suspect of people that say they can change the weather, they can alter the purification of the air and the toxins of selenium and barium and strontium and cesium-137 and graphene oxide and the manipulation of geoengineering and weather modification to reverse both factors of technology. You have to be very leery of people that talk like that, because obviously most people think they're fucking crazy, delusional, insane would be the word. They need to be locked up in behavioral health somewhere. But like I said, Faith is cool, and I'm cool. And we have these discussions, and I'm cool with her. Whatever she says, I'm cool with it, because I like Faith. I just like Faith. If I didn't like Faith, I would just call Faith crazy, delusional, new age nut, and bye-bye. See you later, baby. Have fun on TikTok. But Faith is cool, and I like Faith. And Chris is a pretty cool cat, man. I like Chris. Chris is kind of crazy. Chris scares me, too. Because one minute he's picking up cans and recycling shit to buy gas and borrowing money from your friend, and the next minute he's telling me he's got thousands of acres of land and he's building houses in Florida and Maui and here and there and everywhere. And so I don't know what the fuck's going on. It's all kind of comical to me. But I enjoy listening to all of these. Marion and I, on the other hand, we have none of these delusional type stories. I mean, we just do the basic shit, you know, basic shit with basic avatars. We're on the ground here doing the basic shit. We can take pictures and show you. We have sent most of you pictures of our command center and our outreach programs and so forth. But we all, like I said, we all have our story. We all have our story. We all have our story. And what you have to understand is that not everybody's going to believe your story. And not everybody's going to bite the bait. Not everybody's going to take the bait. And not everybody's going to agree with you. And you should understand that and respect that completely. And I know that Chris and Faith are probably both going to say, oh, we do. We do respect that. You have to respect that, because you know, the people you meet, they have that fake face on when you first meet them. They have the other night. Everybody has that fake face, that fake smile, that funky grin, that, oh, you know, I want to fit in and I want to be your friend and we're going to be cool and blah, blah, blah. And then after a while, you get to know them and they start showing their true colors and they start saying things that you might think are really insane or crazy or delusional. And you're either just going to kind of blow through that and be their friend anyway and say, you know what, this person's very eccentric and they a little bit out of the way, a little bit kooky, but I love them, man. I love Faith's my sister. Chris is my brother. Frankie's my brother, you know. And so we're family. We're family. So we can say whatever the fuck we want to, you know. And that's just the way it is. I mean, I'm sure that Chris and Faith probably have heard me say some crazy fucking things. If they're like, oh, this is crazy. I mean, this is like, oh, he couldn't be this or that or 007 or, you know, he's claiming to be a former operative and, oh, my God, you know, running all these missions and all this other shit, you know. Chris, what did you say, Chris?
I said, not you. Something that would sound like, holy crap, not coming from you. I just know. Yeah.
You never know what's about to come out of your mouth next.
So,
I know.
I have no idea where we're going to go next. And the one thing about it is, see, you can stay on track, too. And that's the other thing I like. You know, when you go on here and you're on a mission and you're sitting here talking about, you know, a certain subject, you'll stay on the subject until we're off the subject. When we change the subject on you, and then a lot of times you'll bring it right back and be like, now you see all this right here? Ties into that, you know, and you'll come back at something. So, you know, to me, it's strategic and fun to have a conversation when definitely when you're not the smartest one in the conversation. Because I always, you know, if I'm the smartest one in the room, hell, I'm leaving the room. It's time to meet other people.
Yeah. I like to be challenged. Dude, you bring up a good point, Chris. You bring up a really powerful point tonight. You know, I mean, I want to meet people that are cutting-edge genius. Yeah, I want to meet people that are cutting-edge genius. You know, they're taking me somewhere I've never been before, and I have just enough information and research and education and talent and intelligence to be able to grasp that, hey, this person, they have the basics, they have the intermediate, and now they're going to take me higher level of understanding of this very complex issue that we're describing and discussing at this point in time, so I'm going to go with them. You know, but then you meet these people that just get off on ridiculous tangents that you know immediately are just delusional, self-absorbed idiots. And so you don't want to be around them very long. They're like very toxic. You just don't want to be around them. You know, you can spot them if you're smart, you know. Now, Dad used to say the blind leading the blind get along very well, you know, the blind leading the blind. You know, the blind can't lead the blind very well. They're both going in the same wrong direction, you know what I mean? But there's a lot of people that like to get together and all go in the wrong direction and just have a ball doing it. And they all stay in the wrong direction. And then when somebody comes in and tries to grab them and take them to a higher level of consciousness and a new confirmation of meaning and, explanation of something and get them out of their cognitively dissonant moment, they get pissed and they get mad and they get violent and they block you or hang up on you because they're comfortable in their own little delusion. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Hell yeah, it makes sense. And that's the thing, you know. A lot of times I wouldn't be thinking about getting into a quantum talk about, you know, whether or not and why someone ties their shoes the way they do, the coffee they drink. But if you sit and think about that, hell, they were programmed, you know, in every bit of it, you know. So I have to sit back and pay attention to actually dissecting every movement through life and everyone that I ever saw.
and everyone I ever will see, and then wonder if the shit's real or not. You know, because
Here's the secret. Here's the secret that'll blow your mind. Let me blow your mind. None of this is real. None of this is real. Nothing that you are experiencing, that you are currently experiencing,
like, sitting here and reveling whether it's real. Yeah, I mean, because you made me question what the hell was real, you know.
But you have to learn to navigate this non-reality, to learn the rules of the game, which faith knows very well. You have to understand that there are some basic rules of the game in the Matrix. A lot of people never become proficient at that level of consciousness and awareness to be able to decipher or discern or decode what's going on in the brain and why the brain is trying its best to make sense of something that is completely nonsensical and fictional. You see? And this is wisdom, my friends, talking. This is wisdom. Comment about this very complex subject.
I'm just sitting back, just observing and listening and everything, you know, but you don't point on quite a few things, you know. We are, I mean, I said it before, I'll say it again. Yeah, we are somebody else's project. No ifs, ands, buts about it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Faith. I would like for Faith to give a little. This is a hard one. I'm not expecting everybody to come in with some brilliant answer or, you know, narrative. I'm just expecting people to say, wow, this is fucking different. This is interesting. Let's talk about it, you know. Faith, what do you say about this very complex array of variables and narrative and analysis of this nonsensical matrix that we seem to make sense out of?
She must have fell asleep.
She may still be outside.
She's probably on the phone for a second because I was texting with her, so I know she's here.
But y'all are doing all that texting.
I was on mute on there. I was talking to you and everything.
Come on, Faith. Come on, Faith. Admit it. You and Chris were texting each other. Come on, admit it. Just admit it. Come on.
Oh my God. You see, I'm the only fan. so, you know, I am a strong believer that we can create solutions. I came up with the name Faith. So obviously I have faith in the option of creating sustainable solutions and hacking it with coexisting, with finding an integrative way to thrive together. And rather than looking at all of the ones who have toys that are destructive toys and different types of selfish feelings pertaining to what they want to do with those toys based on their location, I believe that the more of us who intentionally create solutions for ourselves to get ourselves from those experiences, we don't have to experience the same whiplash that, say, those who are really like in an encampment and they can't leave. Yes, there's locations. Yes, that's a reality. But not all of the beings who exist have to go to those locations. Creating community outside of that experience, working on ways to ascend from that experience by finding solutions and how to coexist in the experiences. Like, I'm working with beings from all walks of life, not all walks of life, many spectrums. I work, one of my business partners, he told me, Faith, I have to tell you something. I said, what is it? He said he murdered multiple people. He said he's been in 4 wars as a mercenary, and he's murdered a lot of people. And he just looked at me in my eyes to see what I was going to do. And I looked at him, and I said, I acknowledge that you did that, and I acknowledge that what you're working on now is making sure to save others because you want to make right with what you did. And, you know, that's really beautiful to see folks transform like that. Not every one of them was raised the same. Not every one of the laws were written the same. Not every single soldier is the same. So there is a spectrum of free will that will come into attack, come the explosions of different areas.
I would have to question that. That would be one of my challenges, is to question that directly, because I've been in the company and I've been in the special op company and I've been in special contracting. And if you have and did, you're not going to come out and use the word murder ever in a sentence if you've been in any kind of special ops or any kind of private contracting. Well, you would not use that word, and I don't believe him any further than throw a semi-truck. I don't believe him. But I do like your word hack. I want to go back to your word hack. Hacking the system, we talked about that one night on a show before you all existed in my reality here. You can hack the system. It's really all about hacking constantly. If you want to get really deep into it, every time you have a conversation with your wife or your husband or your kids, you're hacking. You're hacking the program. You're hacking the algorithm. You're changing. You're attempting to change the algorithm. You're attempting to do a massive hack of the cerebral cortexual paradigm. You know, you're attempting to hack through the matrix and change the rules. Change the rules of the game, right? You have to change.
Can I touch in on the fact that the cerebral cortex that you mentioned,
yeah,
cerebral cortex. So that's considered the downstairs brain. That's considered the area of the brain that's like fight or flight, and it helps in that experience. So there, you can keep talking.
Well, most people live in their primordial brain. We know this for a fact. You know, most people live and work and play and interact in their primordial brain, our little brain back there, that little bitty brain. And they act out of emotion. Most people live their life acting from emotion, 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 emotion. And they very seldom ever get into a highly ultra-level area of awareness and consciousness paradigm. They very, 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 very seldom ever look at themselves as a non-self or a non-being. And they very seldom realize that one part whole and the whole is the part. And people don't understand these types of things. So they're trapped in their emotion and their cognitive dissonance for the rest of their life, usually, unless someone can come along and slap them out of that, bring them into a new paradigm, as you try to do, Faith, with your teachings, I've heard, and my teachings, of course. You and I are the strongest two avatars here on this board tonight. We have the ability to mesmerize people and to do espionage and to do neuro-linguistic programming tricks and treats, and to be able to change people's perception of their nonsensical reality without even them knowing what we're doing. They're simply falling in love with our personality and the fact that they believe that we are somehow more intellectually driven than they are, and much better researched than they are, and more talented and better looking. Of course, you and I both are good looking motherfuckers. So we're sexy and we're tall and we're smart and we're wise and we're educated and we're forthright and we're aggressive and we're special and we stand out. We're the elephant in the room, you and I. And people go for that. People either hate you or they love you, okay, when you're like you and me, okay? People are going to hate you because they're jealous of you, or they're going to fall in love with you because of what you do and who you are and how you act and how you carry. People. I think I told you all the other night. Now, Faith, I know you're like I am. I can walk into a room full of 50 to 60 people in a party and take over the whole fucking place in 30 minutes. And I know that you're the same way. I know that you're the same way.
Very accurate.
Yes?
I'll be on stage. I'll walk right on TikTok. But I can guarantee that when we go into the room, you love them? Do you care about them? Do you see them as trusted enough to care about them? How do you feel when you walk into a room of that many?
I see everything from a very particular, super analytical, ultra analytical, psychodemographic stratification paradigm, calculation, sociological paradigm, sociological phenomenon. I observe their neurological behavior. I observe their psychological status. I observe their abnormal psychology. I observe their body language. I observe the way they're dressed. I observe, you know, how they got to the party, who they came to the party with, who they're standing by, what they're talking about, how their body aura is, their body language, their energy and frequency that they're putting off at that particular moment, their voice volume and attrition and frequency and attenuation. So I'm looking at the total picture. My brain is analyzing everything within a split second, you know.
Wow, you really feel like you're really, really strong. Yeah, we have some similarities there about the full spectrum of scanning. I call that scanning. And I appreciate that. And then when you see that they're trustworthy, you open up enough to be able to tell them the messages that they need, or do you do that too?
Yes, of course. And I'm a human lie detector. I mean, I'm a human lie detector. I can talk to you for 10 minutes and tell whether you're a chronic liar, pathological liar, or just a part-time liar, or you're just having fun with people, or you're trying to fit in with me. I can tell within 10 to 15 minutes of talking to someone. You know, and that's really scary talent to have. That's a very, very scary skill to have. But you learn that when you're an operative. You know, normally when I go into a restaurant, I sit facing the door. I've always got a weapon. I don't go in the bathroom unless I check all the stalls to make sure who's there, what's there, my exits in the building. You know, always doing those kind of things. Anybody who's been any kind of undercover operative is going to be that way. I'm studying what most people never study. I'm looking at what most people would never look at. I'm observing what most people would never observe. And I'm sure you're the same way. I'm sure you're the same way. So you and I have taken the star. We've taken the star place here tonight. I think you and I have kind of outdid ourselves tonight, self-grandizing ourselves.
This is pretty amazing, too. He was able to foresee me running when I was in at our new facility over in Paso Robles that we're working on. Had to run about half a mile, and my phone shut off.
Yeah.
And Chris psychically saw me running and told our business partner that I was running, and he was absolutely correct.
Yeah.
I was literally at a half a mile in high heels and a dress. So Chris is pretty interesting, has some really beautiful abilities too, and is very conscious as well.
Well, I see Chris as just a good old boy that I like a whole lot. I like to sit on the porch and chew the fat and drink a whiskey sour with. I mean, I just see Chris as a good old boy. I mean, everybody's got their thing, man. You know, I'm a weird kind of guy, man. I'm weird. I'm weird. I'm strange. I am fucked up. I'm, you know, perverted, twisted, dysfunctional, erotic, erratic. Huh?
Are you human?
None of us are human. Carbon form is not human. We're simulation. We're synthetic. We're a dream within a dream. We're a program. We're a simulation. We're not human. Nobody's human. There's no such thing as humans. Human. What is a human? Human doesn't exist. Look up human. Go back and study the word human. Nobody's human. We do not understand this paradigm of simulation. Nobody has understood how the simulation works or where the stratification is, where the dividing line is, or where it begins or where it ends. Nobody understands the substrate. we've never been able to find the substrate. I talked the other night about the Higgs boson. I talked the other night about the Hadron Collider. I talked the other night about portals. I talked the other night about people's ability to create this fictional God that doesn't exist. Deities do not exist. Hell does not exist. Angels do not exist. Holiness does not exist. Right and wrong do not even exist. These are simply events. These are simply delusions of the mind. You know, people say, oh, those people that want to go to war. Oh, those people that murdered all those 30,000 people. Oh, those people, those people, those people. There is no such thing as those people. There are simply events taking place within the context of this particular illusion or delusion or simulation. There is simply script being run in this particular simulation. And this is where we get in trouble, is when we have belief systems. Belief systems get you in trouble. Emotions get you in trouble. Labels get you in trouble. Believing in the self gets you in trouble. Believing in the I or the we or the me gets you in trouble. That's all delusional thinking. We do not possess an I or a me or a self. It's impossible. Even at the most common sense level, when you look at it, it's impossible. With all of the multidimensional input that's come in from all of your life of living from birth to now, all of the millions and millions of bits of information that have come in from multidirectional pathologies and calculations and angular momentum and mass and volume and trajectory and voice attenuations and frequencies and energies, you do not have a self. You're simply running on multiple programs and multiple personalities at multiple different times and in the spectrum of the matrix. So let's get over this human bullshit and carbon form bullshit. Everything around you is 99.999% empty space. You know that. Everyone here knows that. Everything is an illusion. This is why it's so fun to play. This is why us warlocks and witches and the occultists and the ones who study esotericism and the ontological paradigms have so much fun playing with these other avatars in the matrix, because we can just play with them like big cats would play with a mouse. And this is the danger of being diabolical or dystopic in your thinking, what you were talking about earlier. You want to stop this and stop that. Well, what you really want to do is you want to change people's perception is what you want to do. You're not trying to stop people from killing people. You're just trying to change their perception over to your way of thinking, that in your particular paradigm, you don't like to kill people. In your particular paradigm, you prefer not to poison other avatars. In your particular paradigm, you prefer not to rob banks or to molest children or to start fires, forest fires. So all you're trying to do is reprogram people to your way of thinking. As Chris and I have talked about many times on the air before you got here, you're simply a salesperson. You're simply a sales avatar. You're an avatar trying to sell another avatar a different algorithm or a different program every time you have an intercourse or interaction with another being. Would anybody like to challenge that here?
I do not want to disrespect you, so I'm going to let it be in this moment, and we can discuss it at another moment.
Well, I'll say it again, if you didn't understand. You're simply, whenever you have two individuals get together, they're selling somebody's selling something. Okay, you've sold me, you've tried to sell me you, and I've tried to sell you me. Okay, Chris has tried to sell us him. Okay. We're all selling each other a bill of goods, okay? You can't deny that. You cannot deny that, okay? You cannot deny that. An avatar trying to build a new algorithm, build a new program, realign, reorganize, restructure the conversation to fit your particular narrative, to make it more synchronistic and more balanced and more perceptible to your way of living and doing and thinking. This no one can deny. No one can deny. Not even a genius, not even someone with an IQ of 180 could deny this common sense. it does make the conversation very interesting now that we start talking after the fact that I've given this narrative and this teaching. It will make the conversation much more interesting. Because now every time you open your mouth, you know that you're trying to sell me an idea, or you're disagreeing with my idea, or my perception, or my behavior, or my philosophy, or my concept, you see. And so the objective would be to form some type of synchronicity, some type of interaction between the two of us that would be more agreeable and healthy and healing and progressively move forward into a more healthy paradigm, a better paradigm.
So I met Sophia Stewart, the writer of The Matrix, Terminator, and Predator. I met Sophia Stewart, who wrote those books while she was going to college to become a lawyer and a psychologist as well. And she literally was hands down totally freaked out the fact she knew that I'm not human, and because of my blood type. And there was a whole lot of different ideas and theories based on that. But she dreamed the dream about The Matrix and wrote it and made it into a book, then which was taken by Hollywood and made into a movie. And they gave her some funds for stealing her book and making movies out of it. Yeah. She had explained to me on a really deep level about the core of our souls, and I already acknowledged this. I acknowledge that there's multiple realms. Like, I appear places. I can be felt. I can be smelled. It's really easy for me to come through. The energy of online, I can come through anywhere and let my presence be acknowledged because I acknowledge my power inside. I do believe that there's some of us. Yeah. So I see us in energy, and I see us as souls. And each of our souls are part of who we are. And I believe that it's a soul experience, a soul journey, where we're acknowledging our souls, our worth, actions maybe that we didn't take care of, and other experiences, but to help us be able to create sustainable coexistences, to have structure, to mend the problems that could be present in the other places that presence is also.
Yeah. You know that there are eight main blood types, you know that. And I have a degree in chemistry and biology. So, you know, blood, you know, people talk about all the time, and we had a show, I did four shows on this, you know, blood group A, you know, has A antigens. I'm sure you know that. And there will be a test after this, so get ready for your test. A antigens on the red blood cells, right, with anti-B antibodies in the plasma at that time, right? Blood group B. What? Has how many? Has what? Has B antigens with anti-A antibodies in the plasma.
Okay.
And then there's blood group O, which has what? Why do they call it O? Zero. It has no antigens. But both anti-A and anti-B antibodies in the plasma at the same time. So blood group AB has both A and B antigens, but no antibodies. And AB negative, which, you know, is the rarest blood type, is AB negative, is the rarest of the eight main blood types that we have, and just about 1% of our donors have it, you know, in the world. Despite being rare, demand for AB negative, of course, is low,
yeah.
And we don't struggle to find donors with AB negative blood, you know, and what's so special about O, for instance, is in first aid or first response or disasters, you know, over 80% of the population has a positive blood type and can receive O positive blood, which is a good thing. And, you know, that's another reason in its high demand, O positive donors who are CMV negative, you know, are known as what? Heroes. They're heroes at the Red Cross because it is the safest blood for transfusions for immune deficient newborns. And we need that very bad. You know what I mean? So blood types, you know, very, very complex. You know, blood types are very, very complex, but it doesn't make you non-human because you're non-human anyway. You're living in a simulation. You are a simulation. You are a player in the game. And these things about blood types are just another way to try and describe a carbon form entity that's not a carbon form entity, but yet not even a synthetic entity. So, that being said, these are all very interesting discussions that we're having tonight. Thank you. Would you like to make any comments? I haven't heard from you in a while. Let me just take a quick break.
Just sitting back, just listening to the conversation, and I mean that's kind of like when a man meets a woman, you know. I mean he don't know nothing about her, and you know, like he was saying, you know, sometimes I sit back myself and whoever I'm with, I sit back and I look at them and I'm like, here's a woman that I met. And, you know, now we're together and stuff like that, you know, and stuff. See what I'm saying?
No, I don't have any idea what you're saying.
What you was talking about, you know, everything is like a matrix, you know, this, that.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the movie Matrix, you know, all of a sudden here, he got pulled into this world, you know, that he didn't know nothing about. And you catch what I'm
what you're saying, I think what you're saying is my teachings on there's an intermediate level, there's a basic level of interaction between two new avatars coming together. At a very basic level,
right.
They're dragging their baggage with them. Both of them have baggage. Both of them have psychosis. Both of them have a lot of abnormal psychology and misperceptions and misinformation and disinformation and cognitive dissonance and ideas and belief systems and so forth and so on and blah, 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 blah. And then you get to know each other a little bit and you have a few arguments and a few disagreements and you're checking each other out. You know, the robots are checking each other out. The avatars are checking each other out. And then you move to the intermediate level, maybe. Maybe you move to the intermediate level where things start to kind of balance out. You start to kind of get to know each other a little bit. And you kind of like each other's smooth ways, and everything's cool, and, oh, you're having a great time. You're having laughs. You're having a few drinks. You're having sex. It's all beautiful. You're having a great evening. You're swimming in the pool, sitting in the hot tub. Now you're at the intermediate level. And then you jump. Where are you going now? Where are you going now? You're going to the advanced level. So you're going to move to the advanced
right.
level very slowly, very slowly, because people hold that back. They hold that back. They hold that back. But that's secret. See? That's secret. Okay. So you move maybe to the advanced level of interaction now, intercourse. And then
that
there's a secret level that nobody. I'm sorry. What? Say?
I'm not going to say it again. Okay. I said, is it in the shower or the bath? Where's the advanced level? Bed, the shower, the bath? You have like story.
Probably the shower. Probably shower. My
okay.
Place.
Yeah, because we just took a swim in a hot tub, so probably shower.
Yeah. Then you move to the secret level. Everybody has a secret level that's never hardly ever revealed. They have a low level secret level, basic secret level. They have an intermediate secret level, and then they have an advanced secret level. And so most people never, even wives and husbands that have been married 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, have never revealed their secret level, their ultra-secret level, ultra-secret level. Now, we all know what those ultra-secret levels are. We don't need to talk about them as adults here. They're too gross and too dysfunctional and too really fucking weird, strange, and fucking perverted and nasty. But we all have that in us. We all have that in us. Anybody that says they don't is a fucking liar. They're a pathological fucking liar. Everybody has the capacity to kill, to murder, to maim, to molest, to beat, to cheat, to extort. Everybody has that capacity. Everybody has that built into them, okay? But it takes a lot to get to that point. It takes a lot to get to that point because most people, they've either covered that up because they haven't had the opportunity to play that out, that part of their life out, or they've done it secretly behind their spouse's back or girlfriend or boyfriend's back or whatever, or they're stressed out to the point of no return because they can't get it out. They can't secretly get it out, and they have no one to talk to about it. So they're fucking stressed out. They're freaked out all the time. Their neck is stiff. Their back is stiff. Their body is stiff. They have heart trouble. They have high blood pressure. They have all kinds of things going on with their bowel. So it's all of this stuff that's inside of them that they need to tell somebody so bad. Like, I tell it all on air. See, I tell it all on air. I tell it in public. I tell it to thousands and thousands of people. I'm a pervert. I'm dysfunctional. I'm dangerous. I'm a dangerous motherfucker. I'm crazy. I'm insane. I'm creative. I'm just fucking everything. I'm a million personalities, man. I've got an imagination from hell. Okay? I could very well be Jeffrey Dahmer. I could very well be Charlie Manson. I could very well be the Boston Bomber. Okay? So that's me. That's me. Okay? If you read Susan, I think it's Susan Goodman's Sunshine. I think it's Goodman's Sunshine. You'll find that me, I'm one of those guys that liked to, when I was a kid, I liked to kiss a small animal, which I did. I love to kiss a small animal. She has it all down perfect. This is an astrologer who really knows her shit, okay? She's a gematria expert. She's a decoding expert. She's a numerological expert. She is does all of these translations, and she's brilliant. But anyway, she has me down perfect to see. I make my particular time and date of my birth. I make a perfect homosexual. I make a great bisexual. I make a great Jeffrey Dahmer. Okay? I could be a great Jeffrey Dahmer. I have those kinds of secret thoughts, those kinds of perverted, weird, strange, twisted thoughts. I'd make a good mercenary, which I've been. I make a good special ops person. I'd also make a great pathological liar. I could lie my way into Fort Knox and take the gold out in two front pockets and nobody would ever know I was there. So they would help me deliver it to the car. So see, all of these things people are afraid to talk about, I talk about on air. I'm not afraid. Okay? I'm not afraid to talk about myself. And Spanky, you know that. You've heard me say all these things before, Spanky. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So this is who I want to be friends with, is someone who is not afraid of their ultra-secret self. Bring it out to me. Someone who gives me a line of bullshit constantly about how good they are and how sweet they are, what a great frequency they're at, what a wonderful energy they're at. No, kumbaya, kumbaya, let me rub your feet. Oh, my God, let me sing you a song. Let me bring you up in your life and your consciousness. Ah, ha, 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 ha. You know, I just want to bend them over the kitchen table and fuck them with a big dildo in the ass. So, yeah, I don't like all the bullshit. I like to hear, you know, the rough side of people, the roughest side of people is what I like to hear. Those are the people I trust the most. People that curse, people that tell the ultimate truth, like it or not, and people that lay the cards on the table. They don't give a shit whether you like them or you don't like them. People I trust the most with my life, my kids, my soulmate, my whatever. My money, okay? And I can smell a bullshitter a mile away, and I can smell a hypocrite a mile away, and I can smell somebody who's trying to win friends and influence people and impress people from a mile away instead of express to me. I don't want you to fucking impress me. I want you to express to me. I don't like people that are going for expression. I like people that are going for impression. Now, Chris, would you like to make some comments? I'm sure you would, but now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can make some comments, but I definitely ain't trying to make them to get people to agree with me or disagree.
Quit prefacing it. Just say it. Quit prefacing it. Just say it. Down always prefaces. Quit prefacing. Just say it.
That's what I said. I said, ain't nobody going to have a decision for me. I'm going to make my own damn mind up. And the thing is you know, I say that, and then I turn around and get manipulated on an influence of someone else, because we are, you know, we are programmed. So I got to sit back and fucking look at that part. Would I want to tell you the fucking truth when I'm? Yep, I do, because I don't want to lie to you, because I got to remember that motherfucker, and I don't want to. So I'll tell you the truth, whether you like it or not, and that's what I'm going to remember, because that really happened,
and that's factual. And I ain't got to remember a damn something I made up. So I don't try to do that.
Yeah.
And
you hear me?
So, what's that?
Can you hear me, Chris? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say somebody keep
several people.
Yeah,
several
I was
people
say,
keep PMing like, things. They're going in and out.
Yeah, yeah, you
they're going
are.
In and out, in and out.
Yeah, you are, because I said I was getting ready to say my stuff. But, to keep going in and out.
Anyway, Chris. Yeah, Chris, I agree with you. You're very candid, and I agree with you 100%. But, you know, I think this show brings out the worst in people and also the best in people. And I think
yep.
this is probably one of the top-rated shows. That's why we've had 198,000 downloads now around the world. So we've been heard by probably 3.4 million people, calculated last night. So, you know, this show is popular. And you either love this show or you fucking hate it. Everybody on it. This is one of those shows where there's no middle ground. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard they're just like that. You know, we can have a conversation, but we don't have a confrontation, and that's what's beautiful. You know, we can agree to disagree because that's what the what's
mm-hmm.
our ability. Right. And I heard it in Faith earlier. There was something you said. She could go south with this conversation, but instead she stayed in the north realm and just paid respect to what was said. Now she don't have to comment. Her thoughts and her opinions were hers. She had the ability to share them. But were they positive or were they going to bring a negative to the conversation to make it a confrontation? She didn't do that. And just because somebody does say something,
well,
you don't have to hear your own voice to get your, you know, because you want to hear your thoughts said. You know, everything don't have
don't
to be
I don't think
heard,
anybody
so.
On here, I don't think anybody on the roundtable is really confrontational or out to be confrontational or debative or angry or pissed off at each other or put each other down for an opinion, even though however outlandish the opinion is, and it's crazy
right.
the opinion sounds, you know, we're not going to kill each
yep.
other or hang up and block each other and say, oh, that motherfucker's crazy. I'm going to get the fuck away from him because he told the truth. And I don't like his truth. He's too truthful.
Yeah, I don't like
this motherfucker. He's too truthful. God. I want this son of a bitch to lie to me. You know.
Yeah, I'd rather
I don't
want to
hear that kind of truth.
I need sugar on it, you know. And I'm mm-hmm. used to getting mm-hmm. it sweetened. Well, you know, the thing is that sweetener ain't good for you. So what do you really want? So what do you really want?
Well,
you know,
right.
and
right. Right.
I know that they created a sweetener in it's a lab born E. coli bacteria, and it secretes. That means they feed it, and it poops this sweetness.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
they put that in everything that people are drinking. And I'm like,
oh,
you
yeah.
got to be
yeah.
kidding me.
Yeah. Sounds like the soda. Some of the sodas they found that they're doing that with some little mealworms. They look like mealworms,
yeah.
and they use. That they even have coffee like that. It's wild. People like to eat poop stuff, and they enjoy it. It's pretty silly.
Yeah, I know. And that's what's so funny about the air we breathe. You know, I was always told the trees, you know, produce the oxygen you breathe. No, they don't. They filter the oxygen that I'm breathing. But I know 85% of the oxygen I'm breathing is being secreted out of plankton. And plankton is the reason that you're breathing. So I think it's funny that we're all sucking farts
yeah.
every day. So just take your nice deep breath and realize you're full of shit.
No, you're all. So oxygen is poison, right? Oxygen is poison, right? You just don't know that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Only our species on this particular algorithm are able to ingest poison oxygen.
You know what? I want to bring something up. You know, it's kind of amazing that you sit in, you're in a body for 9 months, but you're alive. But yet, then you have to come out. When you come out, you start breathing. You know, sometimes I say to myself, shouldn't we be able to walk in the water and breathe underwater if we stayed in a stomach for 9 months?
There's water births all the time, brother, and you ought to look it up. Because
maybe,
the baby will come out and be able to swim.
Babies have gills. A lot of babies are born underwater, and they, you know, it's a wonderful birth underwater. A lot of women have babies in this big, beautiful tubs. And it's very beautiful. The babies can swim underwater. They can breathe. They can hold their breath forever. They're born, you know, babies have gills out of the zygote formation. When they're in the zygote stage, they have gills. And so they're actually fish. And they're also, you're a female until you're a male. Your first female. Every entity, every avatar is a female first.
Mm-hmm.
And then they might grow a penis, depending upon the particular dextroribonucleic factoring, okay, and calculative inputs at that time. So everyone's female. And then they might decide, the body might decide, the anatomy, physiological, you know, chemistry might decide to put a penis on the thing. So that's very interesting to know also. Your penis is nothing but a very large clitoris. That's all your penis is a very large clitoris. This is why many of the ancient societies worship women, why women are so high and deitized, and they're so worship, you know, females. The feminine energy is all fantastically wonderful. This is why the tribes put their women on such high pedestals. This is why many of the tribes around the world put their women on such high pedestals. Many of the native tribes in Southeast Asia, many of the native tribes in even Nigeria, many of the native tribes in South America, in the Amazon, women hold a very special presence, a very special intelligence, and a very special inner consciousness and extra consciousness. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing that women have. And we need to respect the feminine. We need to respect. Somebody's making too much noise out there, so stop moving around. Stop moving around. Stop. Stop. Women are beautiful in their wisdom, in their essence, you know. And today, women are not deitized really as they should be. Women are not honored as they should be today. Women have taken on this feminist bitch role because of men. They've had to fight their way to the top, which is a terrible thing. Terrible way to live for women. You know, most men think women are airheads and idiots and dumbasses and too emotional and too drama, Karen, crazy Karen, and all of this has happened now. So there's a big rift between men and women. Women used to be deitized. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Okay, so coming from a place where I'm extremely intelligent, usually those who even, like anyone so far that I've met other than our crew or our team has not really, well, I have a couple who have come close with certain studies, but they honestly don't comprehend the complexities of the intelligent conversations that are attempted to be held with some of them. And it's not just me. It has to do with each gender. Like, it just kind of depends on who the soul is, who the being is. I noticed that it's on both sides. Like, I had guys who were super needy, and they were super, like, over needy because I wasn't paying attention to them. And why wasn't I paying attention to them? Because I'm providing, because I'm the one making the money and providing for my family. So they're used to, like, not having that responsibility, and they have the idea where if you are supposed to be together, then they are supposed to be the center of the world to that thing. I've had guys offer to pay for my whole house and everything that I could ever possibly need if I could stop working and being of purpose and being of action and being intelligent and just sit there, make food, have sex, and rub
right.
their back and scratch their head. And that's not something that somebody who's intelligent wants to do with their life when they have a great purpose. And I've seen, you know, I've seen that happen flip and flop to others too. And it's just a sad experience when there's one who's super over needy and not as productive and the other one's super overproductive. And then the other one's just bored sitting around doing nothing. So they're like, well, what are you doing? And it's not that they're like trying to be needy. It's that they're not getting the attention that they deserve or that they feel that they need. So then they need to start working on their core team so that they can busy themselves.
Push
me
in. Hey, most
yeah.
men are looking
yeah.
for mommy. Hey, most men are looking for mommy.
I know. They love,
okay.
they love to drink
they're,
on the breast.
They're simps.
That's true. They love
they're
the boobies. They do
they're
love the mommy.
They're simps. Yeah. Yeah, they're simps. They're simps. They're looking for a mommy. They have a vagina. And, you know, they're vagina boys. And they're looking for a mommy. They're looking for a titty to suck. They're looking for a sugar tit. They're looking for a mommy to take care of them. And this is where we're at today. And this is terrible in this culture. It's horrible. It's talked about all of the universities. Many professors of mine have talked about this. Many academians from around the world are studying this and have been studying this. Men have turned into, you know, manginas. We call them manginas. We call them simps. And they formed their own organization called MGTOW, Men MGTOW. Men going their own way, okay? Men going their own way, MGTOW. And these guys, I've interviewed with them. They've interviewed me. Sandman is one of the historians over there. He's one of the kingpins of MGTOW, and they hate women. They detest women. They think all women are out to get them. All women are out to rob them. All women are out to have babies with them and then run off and charge them with child support. And women are going to accuse them of molesting their little kids, and women are evil, and women are terrible, and women are, you know, we have this horrible, horrible disdain for women. And when I went
like
over there trying to take up women, well,
yeah,
there's millions
like
of them in this world, my dear. Well, they
it
were.
It sounds like they
by were some
you
woman,
know, and it depends on the area.
Or their,
in the South,
or
so
their
mother. Small towns. Mm-hmm. But in different areas,
they're all over
depends
the
on the culture. It depends on the area, because I know that in California, it's not the same like that. But I know in small towns, I went over to Kentucky for a little bit, Louisville area, and it was for sure different. I went to all types of different places, and they're all different. Louisiana's different, and Nolens, you know, they're all different.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they are. There are different cultures. Treat this particular subject in different ways. Black men, Spanky can tell you, black women want to rule the roost, and a lot of black men let black women rule the roost. You know, they'll come in and say, look, nigga, motherfucker, you sit down and shut the fuck up. You know, I mean, black women rule the roost in a lot of black households. This is just the way it's been. It's the way it's always been, and it's probably the way it'll always be. And the women are looked as queens. They're called queens in the black community, which I think is stupid. Men have carried this too far. Black men have carried this way too far for this queen business. Queen, my queen, my queen, my queen, my queen. Fuck your queen. I don't give a fuck. But, yeah, women should be respected. Women should be treated with honor. But I have always – women like bad boys. I wanted to say this before we go off air tonight. 20 minutes. Women like bad boys like me. Okay. I'm a bad boy. I'm a mean motherfucker. And women have chased me forever. And you can ask Marion. You can ask Marion. She's been with me 25 years. Women chase me. They'll leave their fucking husbands to chase me. I go to a party and take every fucking woman home away from their husbands and tell their husbands to sit down and shut the fuck up. It's just the way I am. Women are attracted to me because I'm a bad boy. I'm a bad boy. This is why a lot of women like to date bikers and prisoners. I'm sure you understand this, Faith, very well. I'm sure you understand all of this. Women like men. Women like real men who know where the fuck they're going. They know where the fuck they've been. standing on solid ground. They're financially capable and successful, or they're headed in that direction, and they're very firm-footed, and they're able to handle their woman the way the woman wants to be handled sexually, psychologically, spiritually, philosophically, mentally, and conceptually, and otherwise. Would you not agree with that? Women want a strong man, unless they're the caretaker type, and they're sick and dysfunctional, and they're looking for a man to take care of and fix all of his boo-boos and be his mommy. So there's that going on, too. Talk about that, Faith.
I choose celibacy. Usually I've been, you know, I'm open to having somebody who's on the level that I'm seeking to fill that space. But so far, I have been awaiting that blessing to appear, and not really waiting, twisting my thumbs. I'm totally happy not having to deal with that. And I agree, to have someone who's functional is very helpful in a relationship. To have somebody who's trying to rely on me, I already got children to take care of. I don't need somebody else to feed them in that way, unless it's a garden we're building and growing and it's sustainable for creation and part of the community and part of what we're doing in our companies and part of our nonprofits and our 501c3s. And I'm totally up for doing that. But if somebody comes to me and I haven't been able to feed myself in a day because I have a special diet and my food's way more expensive than most people's food, then I'm like, please don't. You know, please don't do that. I have, like, all these responsibilities to pay for all my children's phone bills and my house and our waters and take care of whatever they need. I just don't have extra space. So I don't know how anyone could take on someone like that. I did that in the past, like, right when I was in my early 20s, and it just didn't work out. Or my late 20s, it didn't work out. It was devastating. It was stressful. It was psychotic. It was a psychotic experience, and it's just not something that somebody who's, you know, I think a mutual relationship is everybody's trying to do something together to make it easier for each other.
You're a very special kind of woman. I would say hard to handle, hard to get to know, hard to please. You kind of remind me of someone who I think I could get along with you. Because I'm 1,000 different personalities in one, you know, I could float with you. You know what I mean? I could flow with you. I could reach the balance
that.
With you.
But
there are some men that could not reach the balance with you. Some men would find you too intellectually driven, too sexy, too pretty, too dynamic, too boisterous, too talented. Too much wisdom, too many ideas, too imaginative, too powerful. Many men would
they
be intimidated
it.
By you. I guess you know.
They love it. They love it. They want to contain it. They want to, it's like, you know, the trophy wife syndrome. That's what they want.
Yeah. No, you're not going to be that. You're not going to be anybody's trophy. You're not going to be anybody's trophy. No. But you know what? You could be with the right man. I think you could be a trophy wife with the right man. I think you could be trophy wife.
But I have to be functional. It's not just a sit down and look pretty experience. You know, I already did that when I was 18. I got married, and I married my husband, and we studied how to be hackers together, IT tech. And I went to school to be a fire. I like was with him in his classes. I was studying. Be a teacher, he was studying to be a firefighter and then an IT tech. So I was kind of the at-home mom after I got pregnant. I was studying psychology, and then after I gave birth, he didn't let me go back to school or work or any of that, and I was threatened if I did. Eventually, I decided to leave him, and I got a job teaching and went back to school for child psychology, and I got cast. And we remained friends. You know, we worked through it, but he comprehended that I wasn't just somebody to sit on the sideline, that I'm very productive and I'm very focused. That he can never stop me. I was doing it on the back line anyway. He just didn't know about it.
most men are intimidated by women like you. You know, most men are intimidated by smart women. Most men are intimidated by women who are smarter than they are or make more money than they do or have a higher position than they do. They're very intimidated because most men are not well put together. Most men are not standing on solid, firm, mature ground. You know, it would take a very mature, executive type, intellectual, creative man to be with you. He would have to be very solid in his thinking and very creative and very financially successful. Go ahead, Frankie. Go ahead.
Most men want that Pamela Anderson type of woman, then go down to the club and bring a friend over. That's what most men want. Like you say about her, she's strong, independent, and that scares them.
But I also look a real of an avatar. Like I'm tall. I'm almost 6 feet tall. My hair is too below my butt, almost to my knees. In some places, I have a double D. You know, I'm got bright eyes that change colors and juicy lips. So I'm sacred, I'm strong. You know, but I'm here.
Oh my God. When you're sitting there cross-legged on the floor, girl, look, I'm not going to be nasty here, but when you're sitting there cross-legged on the floor and your vagina is almost there, but, you know, I'm visualizing that vagina, you know, because you keep pulling your white shirt down just below the vagina level, but your beautiful legs are hanging out there with your beautiful feet, your beautiful hair, you're doing your chanting, you're moving your hands around, you're exotic, you're erotic, you're mysterious, you're enchanting, and you know that you're selling sex. You know you're sexually just
juicy. It's warm.
I did not say you were trying to.
Okay.
But it is coming out there, and you know it's there. If you didn't know it's there, you wouldn't wear that short shirt you're wearing and show that vagina, and those beautiful boobs of yours wouldn't be flashy like they do.
I wear bikini bottoms underneath.
I don't care what you wear underneath. I'm just trying to make a point, and you know what point I'm trying to make. You're exotic. You're erotic. You're beautiful. You're powerful. You're exuding with sexual prowess, and you know it. And so that's the only point I wanted to make. Men and women are drawn to you. You don't come across like a slut. You don't come across like a whore. You don't, like the women on Instagram, you don't come across like you're trying to show off, you know, your body. You come off as very spiritual, very gifted, very beautiful, very talented, and very synchronistic and very balanced and very smart and very wise. You play it off very well, okay?
Thank you. I want to ask
Chris. Chris, have you seen her sexy body and her exuding with this sexual prowess and this sexual energy that she exudes? Have you seen that in faith? Quit jacking off over there, Chris, and say something.
Think it might have.
Well, I don't know where Chris went. But anyway,
I'm here. I'm just inside of a building.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were masturbating or something. We were having such a sexual discussion there. I wouldn't blame you. Do you need a towel or anything? I'm sorry. But have you seen Faith in her beautiful, sexy, wonderful, or erotic mysterious chanting and singing and all of her enchanting ways? Have you seen how sexy she is?
Well, I've definitely seen her. And what I've admired the most about her is her softness of the way she handles wherever she is and whatever she's saying. And what she tries to put out it's not, hey, look how sexual I am. You know, it's not that. And I think that's probably
the most attractive thing about her, and that's what every man is looking for. And because thank you, and it's wonderful when you find someone that's just genuine, and they're not trying to hide, but at the same time, very mysterious.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I said. Yeah, beautiful. It's just beautiful. It's wonderful. I'm just happy, happy, happy. Marion's happy. Marion thinks Faith is just the most sexy, beautiful, erotica, goddamn woman in the world. I mean, Marion's just enthralled with you, Faith. She's just, you know.
From Marion, she's also beautiful. That's her own product.
Well, she's beautiful in her own special. She's not beautiful in the way that you are, or sexy, but she's beautiful and sexy in the way that she is. She's totally different. Marion's a Pippi Longstocking, you know. You're a Pamela Anderson. Marion's a Pippi Longstocking. But Marion knows who she is. You know, Marion has always had a low self-esteem, and maybe you can help her with that. And I also want you to help her with her aggressiveness and let her be a more aggressive. She's very passive. People run over her. People trample on her. If I'm not there, I want you to work with her on her ability to stand out and pick up for herself and not be afraid to speak her mind. You know, she speaks it to me when we get in the car. She's like, oh, that motherfucker, blah, 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 blah. I could have done this and I would have said that. And boy, if I would have been there. But she doesn't say it to them. I'm going, why didn't you say that to them? You know, it's like, but, you know, people walk all over, you know, and she's always been ashamed of her boobs. Her boobs are like, what, 48? She's got gigantic, though, boobs.
Yeah.
And she's short.
I tried her.
And she's been overweight. Yeah. But you and her need to talk because I want you to do a reading with her and send her some energy to be more aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's as passive as an earthworm. Passive is an earthworm, and you know women need to be able to take up for themselves. Women need to be able to take up for themselves and speak up and speak out, speak their piece, speak their mind, you know, and she won't. She won't.
That's why when I ever meet one, like I tell them, never be ashamed of who you are. You know, be proud of yourself, because if you be ashamed of who you are, then you'll never advance because you'd be too busy trying to hide. Always be proud of yourself.
Right.
Sure,
that's
changed things.
Right.
It's so comfortable with the body. It took me a long while to even get naked in front of others. I was really scared and nervous about it. And, you know, being a model is different. I could do modeling like that. I'm getting paid like $750 to do like to model for photographers and painters and things. And so I was like used to that.
Yeah.
But when it came to intimacy or relationships, I was really nervous about showing my body because I had my expectations of what I wanted. Like I used to want implants. I wanted them until I met people who had implants and their breasts fell into their stomachs and they got really sick and ended up getting their breasts cut off. You know, so it just wasn't really worth that sacrifice. And then eventually my breasts grew big enough to like them.
I want to say one thing. I've dated a lot of women in my life, and I've had a lot of rich women, and I used to run with rich women. I think I haven't told you about me running with a jet set women and having $10,000 in my pocket every night and driving a brand new car. I had five women at a time, six rich women at a time. I used to run with a jet set. Women took care of me. I never had to pay for anything. They would get my nails done, my manicure, pedicure, new clothes, new car. You know, I was always giving me $3,000, $4,000, $6,000, $10,000. We'd go out at night and spend $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000, $12,000 a night. I ran with a jet set. I was in Learjet, mansion to mansion to mansion, party to party to party, you know, and just on and on and on. Yacht to yacht to yacht to yacht. Art opening to art opening to art opening to museum to museum to museum to party to party to party. It was amazing, you know. But saying all of that, some women like you have inferiority complexes that nobody ever really know about. Some women like you think they're ugly, they're too fat, think they're too this, too that. My ears are too big, my nose is too big, I'm not proud of this, I'm scared of that. I'm sure you know that women are, some women who are really beautiful think they're the ugliest ducklings in the world.
Yes, and I tell them to hide their mirrors. I say, hide your mirror for a month. Don't look at it. Figure it out. Just don't uncover your mirror. Don't look in any mirror for a whole month. And you will look at it again and acknowledge the beauty that you are. And I had to do that because I was in a situation where somebody was saying not kind things about my body. So I decided just to turn them off, ignore that, and then cover the mirror. So when I did that, after I uncovered them, I actually felt comfortable with my body. It was miraculous.
Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you're,
then we learned
you're just beautiful,
the beautiful part.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You know, I used to be scared to death of women like you, but I've only got 4 minutes here, 3 minutes. I used to be terrified of women like you. I was terrified of beautiful women, sexy women. I was just terrified of them, just terrified. I thought I was ugly. I thought I was too small. Or, you know, my dick wasn't big enough or my shoulders weren't broad enough or my whatever. I was just terrified. I think people thought I was gay there for a long time. Think women, one woman even asked me, are you gay? And I'm like, no, I'm just shy. You know, I'm just shy and I'm embarrassed around women.
Yeah, I get that too. I get that too.
But so I would have to go out, I'd have to go out and find drunk women throwing up on the curb somewhere and have sex with them because I was so scared of women like Faith. You know, I'd have to go out and find the, cull out the, you know, have the lions cull out the little gazelles that are crippled, you know. I would go find the needy women and I would get with them, which was insane, crazy, insane, dysfunctional, psychotic. But then something happened, and I learned to be able to be around women like you, Faith. Something happened. I don't know what it was, but I decided, hey, look, I'm not a bad guy. I'm not ugly. I'm okay. I'm fine. So, you know, it all worked out in the long run, and we can hear the other guys' stories on the next show because we've only got 2 minutes, but I love y'all, and look, I think these shows are great. Y'all give me your opinion in private and in public and on the show. You know, these shows are really extraordinarily weird, wild, crazy, wacky, wondrous, phenomenal, informative, interesting, educational, never a dull moment, you know. But I love y'all, and I hope you remain on the round table. If you don't, I'm not going to cry. I'm not like that, you know. I'm not going to be disappointed. But I hope you remain on the team because we got great things coming ahead. I've got a project that's going to be worth millions, and I definitely want to cut the round table in on those profits and all of your nonprofits. I want you to succeed and be successful with my idea. My idea is going to make, at a minimum, 25 million, maybe more. And it's getting ready to happen. Chris knows about it. And I want all of you to sign non-compete agreements, the other one, non-compete and non-disclosure agreements. And then we'll get on WhatsApp and we'll talk about the whole fucking thing, including you, Spanky. Because I want all of y'all involved in the profits in this thing. We all need to put some money in the bank. And we all need to retire well-heeled and not starving to death. And we definitely need to be able to take care of ourselves more than all of us are doing right now. And fulfill our missions and our causes. I love y'all. Take care. I'll see you tomorrow night. If you need me, I'm always here. Marion's always here for y'all. We love you. We love you, audience around the world. And what can I say?
Love y'all too.
Keep your eyes open. Keep your head on a swivel. Be ready. Be prepared. And be alert. Be oriented. Y'all take care. I love you. Bye-bye. If you need me, call me.